Jesus love is very wonderful. Jesus love is very wonderful. Jesus love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high I can't get over it. So low I can't get under it. So wide can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, can't get over it. So low, can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Hello and welcome to the Holy Half Hour here on 3TFM, your local radio station, with me, the Reverend Alec Noble, Minister of Saltcoats North Parish Church. Have you ever wondered what goes on inside the mind of a young person, a teenager, a 17-year-old, say? How do they see the world, looking out from their perspective? You can't put an old head on young shoulders, as they say. So what would a young head on young shoulders think and feel and see about this or that? Well, I have here, sitting beside me, a real live young man, a teenager, and this is our chance to tap his brains and get inside his heart and soul and find out what makes him tick. Of course, he can only speak for himself. All young people do not have the same opinions. But if nothing else, we can meet one typical or maybe not so typical example of young people today. I can assure you that Craig Nisbet here is not a typical teenager, if there is such a thing. Craig is an exceptional, remarkable young man for whom I have the highest respect. You'll find out why in a moment. So, welcome Craig, and thanks for coming and taking on the challenge of being interrogated by 3TFM's answer to the Gestapo. So, how are you today?
I am fine. Thank you, Alec.
Been a bit of a rush from school?
Oh, it has been. It really was. Just I had 15 minutes just to get up here, so...
Although it must have felt good. I hear you've just passed your driving test.
Yeah.
This week.
Yeah, just on Monday there. It was a really good experience passing that, you know.
And you've already got your own car.
Yeah, I got my own car actually back on my birthday. A good
so how did it feel driving up the hill in your own car?
Amazing. You know, I've finally got my independence now. I can drive myself about and where I want to go, so.
World look out here. So let's begin by giving the listeners a wee outline sketch of who you are. Who is Craig Nisbet?
Well, as you know, I'm 17 years old and I go to St. Matthew's Academy, just down in Saltcoats. Within St. Matthew's Academy, I'm a six-year pupil. And at that school, it's a very good school. I really enjoy being at that school. Great ethos, great idea of being at that school. I couldn't speak higher of it.
What do you like about school? Because usually folk don't like school.
Well, at my school, the difference is that it's more, the teachers are more engaging with you, and I didn't like it up until about fifth year, because now in fifth year they actually treat me like a person and like an adult, and it's not just a kind of, you're here because you need to be, it's more you're here because you chose, so we're going to respect that fact, so it's more enjoyable and more relaxed.
You're sitting here wearing your school uniform with a few badges on it.
I've got my prefect badge that I got at the start of the school year. The teachers voted for who they wanted to be prefects, and obviously they must have thought I was a good choice. Don't know why, because I don't think they really liked me, but yeah, I'm really pleased that I got that. And I've also got my Caritas Award badge.
All right.
Part of a programme in our school called the Caritas Award, where we have to work and do good deeds within the community and at school. Yeah, it's practically the Catholic version of Duke of Edinburgh, but something that only six-year pupils are allowed to do.
Tell us more about yourself. Out with school then, what do you do with yourself?
Well, outside of school, in the past good bit of my life, like a good third to a good half of my life, I've been swimming, been heavily involved in competitive swimming with the North Ayrshire Amateur Swimming Club. But recently, I've gave up competitive swimming and taken up the coaching side of it. I'm a volunteer coach with the club, and a volunteer coach with younger children, with the elderly, kind of, well, older people in the club that we get to coach. So
I should say that Craig's quite a good swimmer. You're not selling yourself here.
No.
How high have you gone in your swimming?
I've managed to reach British national level. I've also swam with district regional teams and stuff like that. So it's been a great experience, you know, swimming. Met a lot of great people.
And you're pretty dedicated to your swimming.
Well, I was up until with the swimming part of it, not just the coaching, up until about the summer.
Give us a wee insight into your sort of schedule.
During the week, I used to get up 3 times a week to 4 times a week, up at 5 o'clock in the morning to go and train. So that was like a Wednesday, a Friday, a Saturday and a Sunday. I'd go up and get up and go and train for swimming. Now it's just been cut down to a Wednesday and a Friday for that. But also after school, before I've cut down my sessions, it was a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, a Friday and a Sunday night for 2 hours each time training. Straight out of school, had about an hour to get ready and then go and train and then be back by home by about 8, half 8. So yeah, I had hardly any time to do my homework, but I still somehow managed it. And then I also go to the gym 3 times a week.
And then in this context, you then had a back problem.
Yes, about a good year and a half to 2 years ago, I displaced my middle vertebrae. I was only 14 at the time. 15, sorry, I was 15 at the time. And I just got back from my third British. And I was looking to go to my British the next year individually to try and get into a final and win. But I was being a typical 15-year-old and trying to lift heavier than everybody else in the gym, but without supervision, and lifted the weight wrong, and I bent my back at the wrong time and it put it out, and I was out for a good 2.5 months without any swimming. There was a possibility of me not actually being able to get back in the pool at all.
So it was quite a blow.
It was the second scariest experience of my life, I'd say. And it was the most heartbreaking, because swimming's something that I've always loved. And with being so dedicated to the sport and refining my love for it that summer, kind of scared me, really, that I could actually end up being that badly injured, you know, and never being able to do...
It was your first big injury, wasn't it?
It was actually my second big injury in my whole life, but this was the biggest injury I've ever had, and it will probably be the biggest injury I'm ever going to have.
And then the penny dropped eventually that's going to scupper your swimming career.
Yeah, it did when I was about 15 and a half, really. At the Scottish age groups, I had 5 swims instead of my usual 7 or 8. So I swam my best events that I could swim, so my back crawl events and 2 butterfly events, and every single one of my races I had to slow down because my back was ready to go out again and I just couldn't go it fast at all, so I had to cut down my sessions. And I had, after my back problem, this was during my rehabilitation work to build my back up strong enough, it just wasn't working, because it was during a time when I was growing very fast and becoming stronger. So in the middle of that, it was quite scary.
And the thing I really admire about you is, given that setback that your whole thing in life was swimming and then you're going to lose this thing, you turn to coaching other people.
Yeah.
So tell us a wee bit about your coaching.
Well, my coaching, really, I do 2 to 3 times a week now. On a Thursday, I'm on poolside after my teaching job in swimming for 2 hours. On a Thursday, I'm on poolside for a good 4.5 hours on my feet all the time, teaching people and coaching people. With my coaching, for the first hour, I'm coaching younger kids, so about 7-year-olds to about 10, 11. And these kids are at our lowest junior level, just coming into the club, trying to get a feel for it and seeing if they want to take on swimming as their sport. The same way I did at the start, for me, and it's the best programme we've got.
Here's you as the senior old man at 17.
Yeah, actually, that's the thing that we said, because I had to send in a full retirement slip. Me being a 17-year-old boy having to say, yes, that's me retired now from my job is quite
but
weird.
But I was also meaning you train people with special needs.
Yes, I do. There's a girl that we have in the club that's just started. She's got very bad eyesight and it's not the most difficult to treat to coach because she's able to hear and able to do it, but I can't do my physical demonstrations. I've actually got to be able to articulate it properly and be able to explain it without stumbling. I've managed that thus far, so I'm very pleased. And also with my teaching now, I've now got a child that's got mental problems, but she is very good and I'm very pleased. She's very happy to do whatever I ask her to do and she goes off and swims it no problem. And she's teaching me, with teaching her, she's teaching me how to articulate properly and be able to show swimming and use my swimmer knowledge a lot easier.
So there's a wide range of disabilities.
Well, yeah, within swimming there's a huge range of disabilities, going from people swimming with only one limb to people with deafness. There's they're all in different categories, from S1, the person with one limb, to S15, the deaf people. I know that sounds so derogatory calling them the deaf people, but it's...
We're only using these terms to describe them.
Yes.
We mean no offence, because... Mm-hmm. We've got to admire each other for swimming.
They're the reason, I've never really said it, but they're the reason I never gave up with my back. Because looking at all these people who are far more disadvantaged than me, have had this to live all of their life, and here's me with my simple little back problem that could have ruined my swimming, but I still got, they kind of gave me that spark, that enthusiasm just to keep going and keep pushing through. And thankfully it's fixed now, but it still got me for the rest of my life. I've still got to watch it. I can't do anything stupid. I can't go crazy with my stuff.
And I understand your latest trainee is an 80-year-old woman.
Yeah, she's very good, actually. Very scary how good she actually is. She must have been a great swimmer in her early life, because she's still got the base technique. I've had her for about a year and a half now, so coming up in a year and a half, and it's been a very good experience having her, because we get to see that.
So I've asked you to pick samples of your type of music.
Mm-hmm.
So your first piece, can you explain how that connects with your swimming?
Led Zeppelin's Stairway to Heaven is a song that got me through the time with my back, because it is open to interpretation, as Robert Plant said, that people have came up to him all the time, every time he's been in the street, and said, oh, Stairway to Heaven, it's a brilliant song, it's helped me through this, that and the next thing. And just listening to the lyrics, how someone can have an idealism of certain things with commercialised ideas, is now at the end of the full song, it's like dissipated, and it's became this thing where she is accepting what life is, and that she just has to go through it and just push through the full slog of life, and that nothing is gold, as she says.
Right, well, let's hear Led Zeppelin.
There's a lady sure, all it glitters is gold, and she's buying a stairway to heaven. When she gets there, she knows if the stores are all closed, with a word she can get what she came for. She's buying a stairway to heaven. There's a sign on the wall, but she wants to be sure, 'cause you know sometimes words have two meanings. In a tree by the brook, there's a songbird who sings. Sometimes all of our thoughts I'm not afraid to die. crying for leaving. In my thoughts I have seen rings of smoke through the trees and the voices of those who stand looking.
You are listening to the Holy Half Hour on 3TFM as we get to know more about our special guest, Craig Nisbet. Well, you're telling us a lot about your swimming there, Craig, but you've got other hobbies too, I understand?
Yes, I do. On a Saturday, I play golf, which has been a big thing as well for 10 years of my life. Also, every fortnight on a Sunday, I play football with my friends, just as a little recreational thing, just for fun. And also, on a Tuesday night, after teaching, me and my friend and his dad play badminton, just because it's fun and we wanted to do that. And I'm also a big avid gamer on Xbox. There'll be somebody out there that's a PC Master Race person. I am a console gamer, wholly at heart, so that's something that's been close for me.
So you've quite an active life. One wonders how you fit in homework.
Well, this year has been a godsend because of my free periods being turned into study periods. So now we have to focus on staying in the school and actually doing work during them. So I get all my work done during them so I don't have to do it at home. But last year, in fifth year and fourth year, was a right struggle because, as you know, I'm coming in at 8:30 and I'm like dog tired after training. I decided that to do my homework, I would sit down and just get the homework done if I could. It didn't matter what time I got to bed at, which caused a big problem with sleep, going from 9 to 10 hours of sleep a day to about 5, which I've now got used to.
I mean, there's a lot of hyperactivity, not only with yourself, but I think with your generation. And maybe our whole society is quite hyperactive nowadays.
I think that's because of the way we've been taught at school. Through my coaching, I got taught about these different types of type personalities, so type A, type B, type C and type D personalities. I found myself as a kind of type B personality, more relaxed, laid back, and only just doing the work with as much as I need to get done.
You don't sound relaxed and laid back when you add up all the activities you managed to squeeze in.
Yes, but that's because I will take on anything I need to get taken on.
Are you the elastic band that always stretches to do whatever it has to do?
Yes, that. But at school, the whole idea is that we're being pushed to be a kind of type A personality where we're very highly strung and just keep moving and get everything done. Kind of idea, get it done as soon as you get it.
You're blaming school for that.
I'm not really.
Is it school or is it society?
I wouldn't blame school, and I also wouldn't blame society. I think it's a mesh of the two of them because of the way it's kind of worked.
Is it peer group pressure then?
Yeah, that kind of thing. I think as well.
But do you feel pressure to go faster than you want to go? To do more than you want to do?
Yes, definitely. A lot of the time I've experienced that from not just my parents trying to push me on, but school and friends trying to get me to do too much that I know I can't do.
So have you reached teenage rebellion yet, and the rebellion take the form of slowing down then?
Actually, that's something that I've never thought of, and yeah, it might actually be. Yeah, because I think slowing down for me is something that I needed to do when I was younger, because I was so hyperactive, and I needed to calm down and just take that mellow-looking life and just enjoy.
So some folk will admit and confess to hyperactivity.
Mm-hmm.
Some folk will boast about it.
Mm-hmm.
They're no way confessing, they're admitting it, but they think that's the way to go.
Mm.
Quality of life is in speed and in width of cover, you know?
I would say, no, it's not. As the saying goes, quality over quantity kind of thing. If you can enjoy things in the moment, you remember it for longer than you will going through as much as you can, as quickly as you can, which is a big problem with these bucket list things that people are creating nowadays, where I've got to get this done before I die. I'd say
the thing is, if you do all that list, it'll kill you.
Yes, that's the thing. Yeah, as well.
Anyway, I've got slightly off the subject of what we're going to be talking about. I was going to ask you about your school life and your career.
Mm-hmm.
You're into sports and things, but your swimming's cut short, so what do you think you'll be doing in the future?
Well, my aspiration is to become an aeronautical engineer, so I would want to build planes, kind of idea, and make them fly. That's really what I want to do, is just get in and get planes, build planes.
Be a high flyer one way or the other.
Yeah, kind of idea. Mm.
Right, at your school, you mentioned earlier the Caritas Awards. Mm-hmm. Can you say just something more about that?
The Caritas Award was something that was given to us, was actually pitched to us in fifth year by the RE department. They wanted us to try this because it's seen as a good thing on your CV. The way that the teachers kind of put it, it wasn't really that way. They said it'd be better to take it on for you spiritually and be a way, it's just a good thing to do because you're helping people. No matter what you're doing, every single bit of volunteering you're doing.
Basically, you have to help other folk, you have to reflect on what you've done, mm-hmm. and in the doing, you'll be the enriched.
Yes.
Yeah. So, what are you going to do for the Caritas Award?
Well, at the moment, I'm helping with your church. I'm trying to find whatever they want me to do, I'll help out.
So, but you have a church side to
it. And you have the school side.
And then the school side.
With the school, at the moment, it's just, for me, it's just volunteer prefect duties, as because a lot of people aren't doing their doors because they've got stuff to go off and do, so I'll volunteer for them and I'll take their doors and I'll watch them for them and I'll do their hours, I'll do their minutes and hours for them.
There's church and school and community.
Yeah.
That's your swimming, coaching.
That's my coaching stuff, yeah.
Right. Church-wise, now you're a young man mm-hmm. and you go to church, which is the exception to the rule. Mm-hmm. Can you say something more about your church life? Why do you go to church as a young man?
Well, I never actually used to go to church, as you know, with my swimming. I lost my faith mainly when I was younger because at the start of the swimming, I lost someone very dear to me, which was my nana.
You said your second biggest blow was the swimming, losing your back, mm-hmm. the biggest blow...
It was her.
This was your nana, mm-hmm. right?
Losing her was the scariest experience of my life. Because I've seen my granddad degrade more than I'd seen any other person degrade. He went from one of the wisest men, one of the greatest men I ever met in my life, to being this person that didn't know his right from his left and could only be had to be helped by carers. And I think swimming took that away, that idea. So swimming became my religion in a way. Because I felt that's what I believe in, that will help me. But I lost my belief in God because he took someone so precious from everyone in our family earlier than she should have. But I think now coming to your church and seeing what it's like in a different light than a Catholic church, seeing it in a Protestant light, I've actually seen that God took a beautiful angel away because she needed her time. It was her time more in his eyes than anybody else's eyes because she had done what she needed to do on earth, and it was something that God wanted, was just to give her peace.
So your next piece of music, is that something to do with this?
Yeah, more or less. This, as we know, is the Shrek song. Jeff Buckley's Hallelujah is the Shrek song. Most kids my age will know it as that, but other people who were alive at the time when this song came out will know it as a song that kind of talks about love in a different kind of way and how it comes more from the heart than from society seeing it, that kind of idea, and that you have to find love in your own way and you can find it through any means necessary that needs.
I've heard there was a secret chord that David played and it pleased the Lord, but you don't really care for music, do you? Goes like this, the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall, the major lift, the baffled king composing hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Faith was strong, but you needed proof. You saw her bathing on the roof. Her beauty and the moonlight overthrew you. She tied you to a kitchen chair. She broke your throne. She cut your hair. And from your lips she drew the hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah,
before. I know this room, I've walked this floor. I used to live alone before I knew you. I've seen your flag on the marble arch. Love is not a victory march. It's a cone and it's a broken hallelujah. 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 The time you let me know what's real and going on below, but now you never show it to me, do you? And remember when I moved in you, the holy dark was moving too, and every breath we drew was hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
You're listening to 3TFM as we're interviewing Craig Nisbet. Time's not on our side, Craig, so yeah. I just want to ask you a couple of things. What would you say is the best thing about being a young person today?
Probably the opportunity to go and see the world more and meet more young people and being able to influence younger people out there in a good light, because it's easier to get there with all the technology we have and we're able to get out there.
And the social media things.
Yeah.
What would you say is the more negative thing about being young today then?
Probably the peer pressure to be cool in air inverted commas, with the idea that when you're when younger, around about second year and third year, smoking, alcohol and drugs is a big thing, how it makes you look cool and all this kind of thing.
What would you say is the best immunity to peer pressure?
Be a maverick, really.
And be proud of it.
Be proud of being the outcast kind of idea, and being able to just go in and do whatever you want and other people respecting you. That's, be proud of what you do and what your standpoint is, and don't let anybody question you.
So you've picked, your next song is Johnny Cash, Hurt, to do with
this,
the drugs world.
The drugs and stuff, yeah, about him singing.
I hurt myself today to see if I still feel. I focus on the pain, the only thing that's real. The needle tears a hole, the old familiar sting. Try to kill it all away, but I remember everything. What have I become? My sweetest friend, everyone I know goes away in the end. And you could have it all, my empire of dirt. I will let you down, I will make you hurt. I wear this crown of thorns upon my liar's chair, full of broken thoughts I cannot repair. Beneath the stains of time, the feelings disappear. You are someone else, I am still right here.
Mike Craig, are you feeling under great stress for anything else? I mean, you're saying peer pressure. Is there any specific pressures that you're under?
Yeah, the pressures to succeed academically is a big problem for our youth because of, like, now universities being free in Scotland. It's to everyone now, it seems to be, you've got to succeed, go to university, on you go.
You can't succeed non-academically.
You can, but to school, you can't. Because with these new qualifications being brought in, it's like you get into fourth year and you've got your national threes, your national fours and your national fives. And National 5 and 4th year is the only one that has an exam. It's practically saying to those people who are below you, you're not going to succeed in life. That's you. Go off and find something else. Please, that's how it's going to work for you because of these new exams. And it's been a big problem for us because also with this new world where, in a new world where it says, oh, you can succeed any way you want as long as you make it for yourself, or you can go out and work hard, with the American dream kind of thing has kind of invaded every country in the West, is also a big problem for us.
So what do you think you're going to do about this?
Probably just rebel against it, really, and succeed in my own way. Because academically, I am decent academically. I'm not the biggest brain box you will ever meet, and I'm not the hardest worker at school. I do work hard, and I do apply myself, but I'm not, like, that's all I solely do, as we know, in my swimming. I want to succeed other ways, and, you know, I could succeed in my coaching. That's another thing. That's something that I've been told I could take down and make that a career for myself. I think success has to be taken down as this massive banner of academia and brought into your own, into a personal feeling between people. And I think that's what we need to be taught from a younger age, is that success is your own personal satisfaction other than just this.
Well, you raise a good question of what would constitute success. Who says what is a success? You're saying your own satisfaction. The pressures upon you are get objective exam results.
Yes.
7 A's, that's success, because it's measurable.
Yes.
And society has ways of saying what a success is. Big house, big car, big job. What about the idea that God defines success?
Well, God could define success in a completely different way, where you've taken your own time out to help other people, like the Good Samaritan and stuff like that. Like, you've actually went out and worked for others is a great one as well, because that is a successful way of helping the world get out of this guttural, disgusting place it's in just now, where everyone is fighting and crawling over for certain things and pulling it out because you're that one person that stood up. And if we could get a generation of people like that, we could manage that.
When it comes to a CV,
yes,
you put on certain things like jobs you have done, qualifications you've attained. See, when it comes to your funeral and they do a eulogy,
mm-hmm,
they don't quote your certificates and qualifications.
I know. That's
something. They tend to talk about the person, the relationships, the character. And at the end of life, when you think about it, what will success be? Will it be how many trophies you won for swimming? How many certificates you got? What will success be? Well, we'll kind of have to leave that hanging because time's run out in our holy half hour.
Yes.
But I appreciate you very much coming in and sharing with us your thoughts. Obviously, you're not all young people. You're one young person.
Yes.
But we've dug deeply into one young person and you've given us a real insight, and we appreciate that. So may I wish you all God's richest blessings and whatever your future holds, and I hope you have a good life.
Thank you.
So it's bye for now, and we play you out with Craig's last choice of music today, which is One Republic, Counting Stars.
Lately I've been losing sleep, dreaming about the things that we could be. But baby, I've been praying hard. Said no more counting dollars, we'll be counting stars. Yeah, we'll be counting stars. my face is flashing signs. Seek it out and ye shall find. Old, but I'm not that old. Young, but I'm not that bold. And I don't think the world is sold. I'm just doing what we're told. Me feel alive. Lately, I've been losing sleep, dreaming about the things that we could be. Baby, I've been praying hard. Said no more counting dollars, we'll be counting stars. Watch it burn. Oh, but I'm not that old. Young, but I'm not that bold. And I don't think the world is sold. I'm just doing what we're told. And I feel something so wrong. We're doing the right thing. I could lie, could lie, could lie. Everything that drowns me makes me wanna fly. Hey, I've been losing sleep. Makes me feel alive. I've been losing sleep, dreaming about the things that we could be. Baby, I've been praying hard. Said no more counting dollars.
Sing in the river the lessons I've learned.